welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 8th of July, 2013, the podcast that hires Eskimos as ice salesmen. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's impignorate the news of the bogus. And if you need any more examples of how ridiculous government cronyism is, you need look no further than Brookhaven, Georgia, where the city council is trying to shut down an adult bookstore because they sell massage oil and candles made with hemp and soy. Why? Because the city says they are, quote, adult products. But here's the thing. Identical products are sold legally by a company owned by a Brookhaven City Council member as, quote, health products. The city gave the Stardust Bookstore 14 citations over a one-week period back in June. According to Stardust owner Michael Morrison, quote, "It's kind of ironic. They are clearly, in my definition, non-adult products, but the city is citing us every single day, saying we are a 100% adult store." The same products are sold by Naturally Hemp, owned by Brookhaven Council member Joe Gebbia. According to Gebbia, quote, "We sell it primarily to health food shops and pharmacies. That's our area of specialty." When asked why he calls the same products sold by the Stardust adult, he replied, quote, "You can probably find a lot of products on the shelf that are used properly and put a twist to it that would have a negative connotation." It was Gebbia himself who tightened up Brookhaven's laws on the sale of adult products to try and force the Stardust out of business. But it couldn't possibly be because they're competing with him, could it? Folks, obscenity laws are bogus from the get-go, but let this serve as an important reminder. Any law can and almost certainly will be twisted by those in power to favor themselves and their cronies and to harm legitimate business owners. It has never been any other way, nor could it be. The Stardust is now suing the city of Brookhaven. Best of luck to them. You know what's so horrible about the free market? Roads! Who will build the roads? And who will enforce traffic laws? We need police to do that. The problem with that, well, actually one of the many problems with that, is that police quite often seem to do such a terrible job that it's hard to imagine free market players being any worse. Case in point, Zach T., who was involved in a car accident as a cyclist. After moving through a green light, an SUV driver made a left turn right in front of him, and he hit the brakes, struck the car, and ended up on the pavement. While he was in the hospital having tests run on him, D.C. police officer Carlos Carter asked him to sign a ticket for running a red light. Zach, certain the light was green, refused. Good for you, Zach. The SUV driver claims that Zach ran the red light, which for him raises some questions. Quote, "She claimed that I ran a red light, which meant she saw me, but decided to turn anyway. Or maybe she didn't see me? I was wearing a bright orange jacket, and it wasn't very sunny or dark out. Maybe she had really bad vision. She didn't look, or wanted to hit me on purpose?" Another question it raises is why the CCTV footage of the scene shows the light is green. Yes, this was all caught on video, and it absolutely supports Zach's side of the story. But as usual, we find that government bureaucrats with a bit of power just don't care about the truth. First of all, he had to file a Freedom of Information Act request to get the footage, and he had to do so within the week, or it would be erased. Second, when Zach went to the 3rd District Police Station to challenge the record, he spoke to Carter's supervisor, who said, quote, "Wait, you mean you were biking and you want a ticket canceled? We all know how bikers behave. It must have been your fault. Come on, you're a biker." Unbelievable. So Zach suggested that the supervisor do the same thing and review the footage. The supervisor refused. So Zach filed an appeal. He brought in all of his evidence, but Carter failed to show up, so the ticket was canceled. Now all that remained was for Zach to get compensation. He ended up with permanent injury from the accident in the form of torn ligaments in his shoulder. There, he met other challenges, including claims that if he did anything at all wrong, no matter how small, he couldn't collect any damages. But once again, he had the video on his side, and the driver and her insurance company settled out of court. It's scary to think what would have happened without the CCTV footage. Police bias against bikers, as well as tort laws written to favor the insurance companies, might very well have resulted in Zach getting no compensation whatsoever, and maybe even charged with the ticket. Don't go thinking that the government will do the right thing in these situations unless they're backed into a corner. That's the first lesson. The second lesson is, this is the flip side of all that CCTV coverage. Sure, government surveillance is Orwellian and quite scary, but private security cameras can do a lot. After the Boston Marathon bombing, businesses voluntarily turned over their security camera footage to the police, as did several people with cell phone videos. Dash cams on police cars have done a lot to keep the police honest and caught many of them behaving badly. Being in a free country doesn't mean you're not being watched when you're out in public. It means that the people watching you, by and large, don't care about you. If there's a problem, shoplifting, traffic accident, whatever, then sure, they go and look at the footage. And it's good that innocent people can get exonerated this way. It's only insidious when government tries to spy on our every move, looking for things that it can use against us without having to so much as set foot in a courtroom. Remember that when people complain about Facebook's privacy policy, but then act all blasé about NSA wiretapping. Seems like a lot of people have it exactly backwards. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. What's it gonna take, anti-vaxxers? How many people have to die from your despicable lies before you'll see sense? Or at least have the decency to shut up? Well, add one more body to the pile. 25-year-old Gareth Colfer Williams died in April, the result of contracting measles in the Swansea epidemic. Since November, over 1,200 cases of measles have been reported around Swansea, and Colfer Williams wasn't vaccinated. If he'd gotten the MMR jab when he was a baby, he very likely would have been fine, but this was the time of the MMR scare, which resulted from the absolutely fraudulent work of Andrew Wakefield, who managed to get an article published in The Lancet claiming that the MMR vaccine could lead to autism. There isn't a bit of truth to it, and The Lancet retracted the paper, his co-authors all went back on it, and Wakefield himself had his medical license revoked for fraud. But the damage had been done. And to this day, many parents are afraid to vaccinate their children for fear they might get autism. That's exactly what happened with Colfer Williams, and over 80 others have also been hospitalized for measles in the area. Folks, this is what happens when vaccination levels drop below herd immunity. As this podcast has covered many times before, when the vaccination rate goes down, these diseases come back. But anti-vaxxers love to spew bogosity like the diseases were really stopped by clean water. But Swansea's water hasn't gotten any dirtier. They also blame them on things like bad diet. But if this were the case, we'd expect to see it spread out over bigger areas. No, these outbreaks cluster themselves right in the areas where vaccination rates are lower. A vaccination program in Swansea appears to be slowing the disease, but Welsh officials say they're still concerned that not enough people in the hard-hit 10 to 18 age group are getting the vaccines. They say that parents should make sure they get their children caught up on any shots they've missed. And you know what? That's good advice for the rest of us, too. This should be a no-brainer, but as long as we have liars and fraudsters like Wakefield and Natural News and people like that all spewing this bogosity so they can profit with their bogus snake oil, we'll all have to be vigilant and take down the lies wherever and whenever we see them. This isn't something we can just let the government take care of or leave it to someone else to do. In your own little corner of the world, letting people know about the wonders of vaccines could just save your life or the life of someone you love. With all the lives they've saved and all the diseases they've eradicated, vaccines just may be the closest thing this cold and lonely universe has to a miracle. And now it's time to commit an act of annoyance against this week's biggest bogonimeter. Sherwin Smith is the Deputy Director of the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation's Division of Water Resources, and apparently he's tired of all these complaints from citizens about water quality, calling them, get this, acts of terrorism. This comes from statements he made in a meeting with a group of Maury County residents on May 29th. Just listen.
We take water quality very seriously, very, very seriously. But you need to make sure that when you make water quality complaints, you have basis, because federally, if there's no water quality issues, that can be considered under Homeland Security an act of terrorism.
So, can you say that again, please?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
What I'm saying is, if you've got concerns about your drinking water, that's very important. We take that very seriously. But under federal regulations, if you make allegations against the public water supply that are unfounded, then that can be considered under Homeland Security an act of terrorism, because you're trying to allege things.
And who would the you be in this case, Mr. Smith?
I'm just saying, I'm not making any accusations.
He's
I'm just telling you so that you understand.
For those of you who had trouble understanding it, here's what he said. Quote, "We take water quality very seriously. Very, very seriously. But you need to make sure that when you make water quality complaints, you have a basis, because federally, if there's no water quality issues, that can be considered under Homeland Security an act of terrorism." This meeting and these comments came after citizens started complaining about children being sick after drinking the water, complaints that had gone on for months. People had also complained about communications breakdowns, which further frustrated them. And then came these remarks. Citizens, of course, were shocked, not only by the way he was blowing off their complaints, but the fact that he would go so far as to imply that complaining is a terrorist act. And the sad fact of the matter is, it may not be far from the truth. It's becoming more and more clear with everything that's been going on that complaining about the government and exposing what they're up to is being called terrorism more and more. While it may sound as ridiculous as it is to consider complaining about water quality an act of terrorism, there really is no difference in kind. Terrorism should be about acts or threats of violence against the American people, not things that make their government uncomfortable. Which means that Sherwin Smith now joins their ranks as this week's biggest bogonimeter. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address, or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now a rare treat, the seventh recipient of the coveted Silver Kluon Award, the only accolade this podcast gives. And this time, our other worthy recipients are joined by none other than Edward Snowden himself. Snowden gave up a life in America and a $200,000 a year job to expose the highly controversial and privacy-invading activities of the NSA, in particular their PRISM and Tempora programs, as well as their interception of U.S. and European telephone metadata. But as courageous and heroic as that was, that's not really enough to get the Silver Kluon. While he seeks asylum overseas, he has continued to leak relevant documents and has even taken steps to protect not only the documents but his own safety by placing encrypted copies of all the documents he took around the internet, the decryption password to be released if anything happens to him. Clever, but still not quite enough for the Silver Kluon. No, in order to take the Silver Kluon, you have to take down a bogus intellectual argument in a simple, straightforward, and undeniable way. And that is exactly what Snowden did on July 1st when he released a public statement via WikiLeaks. Quote, "For decades, the United States of America has been one of the strongest defenders of the human right to seek asylum. Sadly, this right, laid out and voted for by the U.S. in Article 14 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, is now being rejected by the current government of my country. The Obama administration has now adopted the strategy of using citizenship as a weapon. Although I am convicted of nothing, it has unilaterally revoked my passport, leaving me a stateless person. Without any judicial order, the administration now seeks to stop me exercising a basic right, a right that belongs to everybody, the right to seek asylum. In the end, the Obama administration is not afraid of whistleblowers like me, Bradley Manning, or Thomas Drake. We are stateless, imprisoned, or powerless. No, the Obama administration is afraid of you. It is afraid of an informed, angry public demanding the constitutional government it was promised. And it should be." Right on, Snowden. That's how you show the hypocrisy of a tyrannical government and give out the plain truth in a couple short paragraphs of a very short public statement. It's about keeping the people afraid and ignorant of what their government is doing. And not only stating it so simply, but after taking the actions themselves that have exposed this truth is what earns him this honor. Congratulations, Snowden, and enjoy your shiny new Silver Kluon. Let freedom shine from it no matter where you end up. And now it's time to commit unnatural acts against this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And once again, it goes to Mike Adams, the self-styled health ranger of natural news, your one-stop shop for completely idiotic crackpot medicine. This time talking trash about George Zimmerman trial witness Rachel Gentel, the illiterate high school senior, and that phrase alone should warrant a screed against our school system, who took the stand for the prosecution. So Mike Adams takes this opportunity to look at someone who is, let's face it, a few thoughts shy of a clue, and claim that this is because she was brain damaged from repeated poisoning by food and pharmaceutical corporations. He blames fluoride, fried foods, aspartame, vaccines, and prescription drugs. Fluoride, of course, occurs naturally in drinking water, and often in concentrations higher than in municipal water supplies. The purpose is not to juice up water with fluoride, it's to set a standard safe level. And lots of people eat fried foods, get vaccines, take medicine, and all the rest. If these things really did cause brain damage, and that brain damage really is the cause of Gentel being the way she is, shouldn't millions of us be just like her? Shouldn't most Americans exhibit these same symptoms? Shouldn't Gentel be a typical American, rather than someone that screwballs like Mike Adams point to in order to show so-called brain damage? He even blames lead, saying, quote, "I strongly suspect Rachel has a history of exposure to this brain-damaging heavy metal." Oh, you strongly suspect? Have you done, oh, I don't know, anything to investigate this possibility? This gives you an idea of Adams' level of research. Precisely none. He closes out with his usual fear-mongering. Quote, "Until we stop poisoning our children, this is not going to stop. Rachel Gentel is the canary in the coal mine, warning all of us of the disturbing degree of brain damage that's already being inflicted on our children. She is a victim of institutionalized poisoning." I wonder how he explains this in light of the Flynn effect, where IQs among the population have been increasing over time, not decreasing, even as more and more people eat these foods and take these medicines. If this really is the result of food and other things that so many Americans take in, why would Gentel be such an anomaly? Pointing to her specifically is pretty much saying she's an unusual example, so whatever's going on with her must be unusual for the rest of us. So you can't blame it on things that give the rest of us few, if any, ill effects, and then claim that the rest of us are in danger from it. Whatever mental deficiencies Gentel may or may not be suffering from, Adams is far worse, making him so obviously deserving of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Plop Plop Fizz Fizz edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from Edward Snowden. Their purpose is to frighten, not me, but those who would come after me. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Bogosity.